Hello there, welcome along to the RT Soccer Podcast. I'm Adrian Eames. As ever, James O'Toole is with us, also joined by Graham Gartland and by Gary Rogers for this, the latest edition of the RT Soccer Podcast. And James, you're back at base after all your travels around the country, your holidays. You're on dry land now.
Yeah, we eventually got back to Dublin, thank God. No, but it was great. I think if you're going to do any holidays around Ireland at the moment, it's definitely the way to go, instead of taking to your car, spend local, shop local. There you go. There's a little
good plus. Good lad. Well, it's a busy enough podcast this week, mainly focusing on the Irish clubs in Europe. And we'll touch, obviously, on the opposition for Dundalk. That's Vitesse Arnhem. Shamrock Rovers up against the Albanians, Tiute Durres on Thursday evening. Bowes against Pauk on Tuesday as well. We'll come on to each of those games very shortly. But first of all, let's reflect, shall we, on what happened last week. And Gary, what a super win for Dundalk away from home in Tallinn.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a brilliant win away. Anytime you go away from home and win, I think it's that little bit more special. And I think, you know, they dominated the game in terms of possession. Obviously, went a goal down, but you know, this year they've been able to kind of get plenty of goals in Europe, and that's been the case so far. And to come back and Will Patching to pick up the winner in the 92nd minute, I think it was, you know, would be terrific for the guys there and for everyone involved in the club. I think they'd be delighted with a win so late on in the game. You know, them wins are very special.
Yeah, and Patching scored, of course, in the home leg inverted commas in Tallaght. What do you think he's going to add and has added to Dundalk since his return from Derry?
Yeah, well, Will is a very talented player. Like, you know, he was terrific in his spell at Derry. I think James will vouch for that. And like, he's got brilliant quality on it. Like, he's really good passing the ball. But also, like, I would have noticed from training with him last year, he's a terrific finisher. And when he gets in, 9 times out of 10, he's going to put it away. Like, he's been sensational this year, and I think it just goes to show when you give him the opportunity and he gets minutes on the pitch, he was able to kind of, you know, show what he's about. And I think, you know, he's a player that's had a terrific season and could probably go even further again. So it's great for Dundalk to have a player that quality, you know, in amongst like what they've got already, because Patrick McElhenney, as we all know, is a terrific player. Sam Stanton has been, you know, growing into it as well. So like, Dundalk are kind of, you know, they've been improving under Vinny. He's certainly come in and he's done a really good job. He's steadied the ship, and the results have started to come in, and the results in Europe have come in as well. So he'll be very happy with what he's done to date. But obviously, you know, the next challenge is going to be a huge challenge. But, you know, when you've got players of really good technical ability on the pitch, you've got a chance. And I think, you know, that's what Dundalk will be happy with, you know, the standard of the players that they have, and, you know, that they're finding a bit of form at the right time.
Yeah, and David McMillan again, bang in form, Graham. He's absolutely flying it, especially in Europe.
Yeah, he seems to have his knack of scoring goals in Europe, doesn't he? Because I know when, actually, we came to watch him when I was coach at Dundee. We watched him in the cup final against Cork, and it was him, Benson and McElhenney were the ones touted that they were going to move. So myself and Neil came over to watch and have a look. And I think he, just on the day, we just felt, well, at the time, they were probably on similar wages to what we were willing to offer at Dundee. So it wouldn't have been a good move for them. But he ended up going to Scotland and struggled to probably get goals or get consistency over there. But it's like that. Sometimes familiarity is where they're comfortable, and that's where you see the best of people. And I think that's the case with David. And then obviously he has the knack of nicking goals in Europe, which is a great thing to have.
Yeah, and James, you were reasonably, I mean, obviously you couldn't be overly confident about Dundalk's prospects, but on the podcast last week, you felt they were in with a very good shout of making it through, and you were right.
Yeah, I thought they were. I thought the way Vinny has them set up of late has been really, really good. I think, as Gary's mentioned there, Will Patching, it's just like, when he went to Derry, I thought this seems a bit bizarre. Like, he didn't get much time under Felipe last year, but he was at Derry, he was absolutely super. And you see the goal, the pass from McElhenney, the vision from him, his first touch, and then the finish is absolutely superb. And I don't know, Gary might be able to correct me on this. I don't think when Dave McMillan scored in Europe, I don't think Dundalk have gone out in that game, if you know what I mean. I think every time he tends to score, they tend to go through. It's great for them to go away, and it's starting to show the fitness of them as well, that they can continue to go to that 92nd, 93rd, 94th minute and finish teams off. It's a great result for them, absolutely wonderful result. It was over the moon for Vinny, I have to say.
Okay, and a very good result as well, Graham, for Bohemians. 1-0 up from the first leg against Dudelange in Luxembourg. You know, there was a suggestion or two around the place that it might be difficult at the Aviva Stadium, big, you know, big open pitch, that Dudelange would have something in them in the return leg. But if anything, Bohs just utterly bossed the game. 3-0 winners. Rob Cornwall with a great header to get them on their way. And Georgie Kelly, we were talking about David McMillan scoring goals in Europe. Georgie Kelly with two in the second half. 4-0 on aggregate. And that was a very impressive win.
Yeah, really impressive. I go in contrast to that. I think playing at the Aviva, you're thinking it's a one-off occasion. You're obviously heightened by it. You come out and you know you're going to have to perform because a lot more eyes on you as well. So I think a lot of them sort of grabbed that, the occasion, and went with it. I know they scored two set-piece goals, the first one from Rob Cornwall, and the second one is a knockback across for George Kelly. The tour goal is wonderful play from Liam Burt, and he slips Georgie Kelly in and he finishes. And I think for such a big sort of player, he has the knack of scoring goals in the box, and not just with his head though, because he's a really good finisher. You think he's just going to be a dangerous player in the air. He's actually a really good finisher with his feet, and he always arrives at the right time. I thought they totally deserved to go through. We were on it 2 weeks ago, talking about how we felt Dundalk would go through, and we felt Bohemians would go through with the opposition they were up against. Obviously Dundalk had the tougher task because the second leg was away, but I totally felt Bohemians would have enough to beat Dudelange at home, and especially with it being in the Aviva.
And Gary, I was fortunate enough to be there for RT Radio. I know you were there, but 8,000, it was a terrific atmosphere for just 8,000 in what is a very big stadium. So the Bulls fans made themselves heard right throughout. What impressed you most about the Bohemians' performance?
Well, look, I think it's hard to be critical of any aspect of Bohemians' performance of the night. I think, you know, to a man, they were brilliant, you know, all over the pitch. You know, Kieran Kelly at the back, James Talbot very comfortable throughout the game. But they're a real dynamic side, and, you know, Liam Burt, Ali Coote were excellent. George Kelly gives him a great focal point, and as Graham says, like he's more than just a big man. Like he's got great quality, and he showed that in terms of, you know, the finish for the third goal. But look, I think, you know, every aspect of Bohemians' play the other day was excellent, and I'm really looking forward to obviously the next game against Peg, which will be obviously a completely different proposition. But, you know, this is a really vibrant young team going into it full of confidence, and I think, you know, they won't shirk responsibility, and they'll give it, you know, everything they've got, and that Bohemians crowd and the atmosphere that was there. It's just a pity. I'd say Bohemians at the minute would fill the place if they were let, but it was a terrific occasion and a brilliant atmosphere.
Okay, we'll come back to Bohemians against Pauk and Dundalk against Vitesse on Tuesday. And of course, Shamrock Rovers with a big home game against the Albanian side, Tiute Durres, on Thursday evening. First leg at home at Talis Stadium. And like we did last time around in terms of the European competition, we tasked James with a challenge of doing a scouting report on the clubs in Europe. So then, James, Shamrock Rovers, what are they facing in Tiute Durres on Thursday night? Tell us a little bit about the Albanians.
Yeah, you're giving me the hardest task. It's getting harder and harder as soon as we see these teams come out, especially with Albanian football. It's not the easiest one to go searching around, but the easiest way to look back at it is, like Shamrock Rovers, they started at the same stage this year in the Champions League, but were knocked out by Sheriff 5-0. So not the greatest start for them, absolutely hammered out of the Champions League, but then drew Inter Escalades from Andorra, and bizarrely enough, lost 2-0 at home to them, and needed to go to the second leg and into extra time in the second leg to beat them 3-0 away to go through on that one goal. Usually set up in a kind of 4-2-1-3 with Kalaku just in front of the two midfielders of Dea and Villa. Plaku, I think it's like Plaku, Plaku is one of their main strikers. Two goals he got against Escalades in the last leg a couple of weeks ago. Again, they're not really into pre-season at the minute. Like their last five games, they've got three losses, one win and a draw. So I don't think Shamrock Rovers would be all that worried about them, to tell you the truth. I think they'll just go about their job. They'll have a look at what they've done in previous games. I think the game on Friday evening would give them great emphasis going into this one as well. I think they could well get through this. Now, they will obviously have to keep one eye on that midfield, especially Kalaku, who seems to score a couple of goals for them. But Yeah, I think they should. They have the quality to go through this round and into the next round, fingers crossed.
Graham, what's your read on Tiute Dores, you know, from people you've been speaking to around about Shamrock Rovers? What are they expecting?
Look, similar to what James says, they actually don't concede a lot of goals away from home. So that's where they're at. Like, they're probably set up better defensively away from home than they are at home, which is strange. So that's probably where they're looking to be a counter-attack team. But I watched a bit of the game against Inter Escalades, and I didn't think there was a whole lot of quality in the game. They have an Astro pitch as well over there. Having watched Shamrock Rovers on Friday night and having watched that game previously during the week, I just thought Shamrock Rovers would have a little bit too much for them. I think, like you said, they set up basically in their system. There's not a lot of pace in that individual pace that you think, right, I need to worry about him in certain positions. I think Shamrock Rovers will have too much for them over the two legs, and I totally expect them to go through.
And in that regard, is it important that Shamrock Rovers take a lead to Albania, or how do you see it?
Yeah, I do. I think that's where I'm saying. I do feel that Shamrock Rovers should go and attack them on Thursday and go and basically play a high tempo and a high energy and use all that power. I think sometimes in teams, Irish teams playing in Europe, we forget what we try and match teams technically, which I think Shamrock Rovers have the ability to do. But I also think we should bring the sort of physicality and the power that we play with as well, and that energy. I don't think we should go away from that as well. I think sometimes I feel we need to show that we're technically good, and I agree we do. But we also need to remember what we're good at as well, and bring that to the game. And I think that's what Shamrock Rovers would do. I think having spoke to Stephen then on Saturday, I think he feels that if they play with their energy and their power in their team as well, with the technical players like Gary O'Neill and Dylan Watts, that they should come through once they perform.
And Gary, just from, you know, a player's perspective, when you're facing opposition that, you know, you're not too familiar with, obviously the manager, you know, in your case primarily Stephen Kenny, or in the last wee while before you retired, Vinnie Perth, how much information do they give you? I mean, obviously they have to impart some knowledge on the opposition, but would it be a lot of stuff, or would it be mainly video, or would they talk to you individually, or how does it work?
Yeah, there would be a lot of information that you'd be given to take on board. You'd kind of get a breakdown of each player individually, and then obviously you do the video work collectively as a group, but you would get a kind of presentation and or a handout, and you would have all the players and all the information. And obviously you'd be paying particular attention to maybe players that you'd be up against, depending on who it is. Obviously I'd be looking more at the strikers and that, but obviously set plays and stuff. But yeah, there would be a lot of information, a lot of homework done, you know, in the weeks coming up to European games, because, you know, league football, you know, week in, week out, you generally wouldn't have to do as much because you're far more familiar with the opposition in the league. But certainly when it comes to Europe, you can't kind of leave any stone unturned, and you really got to have a good look into it. And I think, you know, when Shamrock Rovers look at the opposition, I don't think they'll be frightened. I think you know, I fully expect them to go through, and given the vein of form that they're coming into now, and you see the likes of Dylan Watts and Danny, they were excellent at the weekend, and Richie Tell coming into the club as well, and he will drive standards on. So I'd be very confident that Shamrock Rovers will go through. I think they will expect to go through, and anything other than that would be a disappointment for them. But having said that, you still have to do your due diligence and do your homework. But I think, you know, Shamrock Rovers won't be found wanting there, and, you know, Stephen will have them really well prepared, and you'd be hopeful that they will progress to the next round.
It's a lot easier to do your research now than it was 15 years ago when we were playing in Europe. Like, you just walk off snippets and see what you could do, like, you know. So you're nearly, your first half an hour was trying to see what the opposition was about. Gary would tell you, even back, because obviously I played in the same team as Gary, we didn't have a lot on opposition, so you'd nearly spend the first half an hour trying to understand what the other team were doing, and who was dangerous and who wasn't, and what our sort of things were. So that's where I think now, with the way the game has gone, where there's so much information out there, you can nearly, you know, their first 10 minutes really might be feeling them out, but after that you can nearly just say, right, well, we'll feel we'll have the better of these if we play at our tempo.
Yeah,
you might even get the right video. I remember looking, at a video of a team, and we were trying to work out which was the team we were playing in terms of the colours, because you just wouldn't know.
No, I know. Yeah, and Paul used to have.
Team sheet. Forget about it.
Used to have a video, no VCR, and he'd stick in an old tape, and the grainy tape would come across, and then we'd be looking at a small little telly, thinking, "What's going on here?" Like, you know. Rewind that there.
Black and white.
Yeah, it was. Rewind it there. And then, no, you've gone too far. Go back. And then you'd be, a video session could take 2.5 hours.
Yeah, it's all changed. So then let's move on to Dundalk. James, they're up against Vitesse Arnhem. So many people will know the name, of course, obviously operating in the Dutch Eredivisie. What can you tell us about Vitesse?
They've been on a goodish enough run. They're in pre-season as well, so they've lost, drawn, lost, won and drawn. But those losses actually was to Schalke 0-4, so they've had some really, really good pre-season games, if you know what I mean, some high-profile pre-season games. Interestingly, though, the oldest member of their squad is just 29, Adrian. It seems a bit young for me for a European squad. And just this summer, like Jacob Robertson, the Danish defender, some people might know from underage Euro championships, but he's come in on loan from Fiorentina. They've also brought another Danish striker in Fredrikson from Juve. But last year they secured a Penda, Belgium striker, on loan from Bruges, and he scored 10 goals from last year. But they're a very, very young squad, usually playing a 4-3-3 kind of attacking range. If you look at the squad they've got listed, there's a fair few strikers on the squad as well, and a fair few attacking midfielders. But it's one of those names, as soon as you saw in the tech in the draw of Vitesse Arnhem, you thought, oh, please don't get them, because they have got some quality in Europe. This is going to be a very, very difficult team, but you know, away in the first leg might help them a bit. And I'm sure, as we already mentioned, those videos were easier to get of Vitesse to have a look and see which way they're setting up. So hopefully that homework has been well and truly done by now.
What are your thoughts, Gary, on this one for Dundalk away, as James said, in the first leg on Tuesday?
There's no doubt it's a difficult tie. I think, you know, for an unseeded team to get a team of this kind of quality, you know, it is unlucky, I suppose, and people were probably talking about the luck that we got in the draw last year in terms of getting Inter and then getting a Faroes team to qualify. But, you know, there's no luck attached to this one. This is going to be a huge test. And, you know, going away from home, it's about staying in the game and keeping yourself alive for that home leg. And, you know, you'll be hoping that Dundalk obviously can do that, can take it back to Tala. And it does come down to pressure. Like, you know, Vitesse will be expecting to go through. And if you can stay in that game, a bit like the Bata game, you know, 5 years ago, where we got absolutely hammered over there, but we were only 1-0 down, and we come back to Tala with a live chance of getting through, and we all know the result there. But it's a case of getting that game back home and being in the tie and giving yourself a chance, because pressure is a funny thing. You know, a team that's expecting to go through, and if you can really ask questions of them and take your opportunities, because European football, it will come down to opportunities. And Dundalk, with the quality that they've got and the technical ability that they have in the squad, will get chances, but it's about capitalising on them, and Dave McMillan has been brilliant at doing that over the years. So I think, you know, going away from home and taking it back, you know, with like if you get a draw away or you just have a goal in the difference, I think, you know, Dundalk will be happy with that and give themselves an opportunity to progress.
Gary, how much of a buzz did you get from playing in Europe? You know, because obviously travelling and being with the lads away from home, was it, you know, were you cool about it, or was there an extra pep in your step when it came to European football?
I think European football is the major plus that there is in our league. You know, it's them kind of games where you're going away to stadiums and, you know, generally better stadiums than we have at home, that's for sure. And playing, you know, like the likes of Legia Warsaw and the atmosphere there, and obviously the Emirates last year with no crowd and these stadiums, it's the one major plus that our league players, you know, can enjoy. And you look at Bohemians now, they're going through a couple of rounds in Europe, and they're a really young side, and there's young players, you know, having experiences of a lifetime, and hopefully, you know, they'll progress forward and they'll have them again. But it's brilliant, and it's a real enjoyable experience. I know Graham will have had the same and played away in Scotland and all the rest, but generally, you know, it's very few teams get to enjoy these European occasions, and I think that's one of the pluses about our league, that, you know, our young players and players in the league get to go away and test yourself against high quality European opposition every year.
And just in terms of the fact that Dundalk are away from home in the first leg, is that a good thing in your view for Dundalk?
Yeah, I do think so. I think bringing it back, you know, it's always probably, if you can keep yourself in the tie, like I said, if you can bring it back home and you'll have home support behind you, you're obviously more likely to win the home leg. So I think it's about keeping that game, you know, tight and giving yourself that opportunity to progress. But yeah, bringing it back for the home game, you know, it gives you a better chance.
Graham, from your perspective, from your playing days, how much of a thrill did you get from being involved in European games? Because we mentioned a couple of weeks ago on the podcast, you know, you scored in Europe, but how much of a buzz was it for you?
I loved it. To be honest, and Gary would know this. To be honest, I just loved being around the team. Like, so you meant you were around the team sort of 24/7. That was a great just sort of thrill to be around your teammates a little bit longer, staying in hotels and stuff. But it also meant that you were successful the year before. You know, that you've gone and achieved something the season before, and this was the reward for it. So then you wanted to go and embrace that and show how good you were on the European stage. I had experienced a little bit of it with Longford when we went away, and it was great, and your team comes together. And then the following season with Drogheda hadn't qualified for Europe, but I had left and signed for them, and we weren't in Europe. But we had sort of worked so hard that year, and Gary will testify it, we were probably doing 3 weight sessions a week, and we were Paul kept saying is, this is for next summer when we're in Europe. This is for next summer when you're going to compete. So when that European games came around the following summer, we had fell back and realised all the sacrifice and the work we had done. So we wanted to make a count. We wanted to go and show how good we were. A lot of the times, and Gary will tell you this as well, from a defensive point of view, because of where we were as a league, a lot of the time was you had to stand up in Europe as a defender, as a goalkeeper, and you got a lot of praise for it because you were obviously putting in good performances to try and keep teams out, and a lot of the spotlight would fall on you. Oh, well, you know, the keeper had a good game, or your centre-backs needed to play well. So in that sense, it was your chances as a part of the team to show, well, listen, I'm able for this level and I can compete. But yeah, I loved it. I genuinely look forward to the European games, look forward to travelling, look forward to being around my teammates a little bit more, and just that experience. And it stays with you then, because when you go and play in other big stadiums and other leagues, you're able to just say, well, listen, I've done this before at this level, and you know, there's no panic really.
And just coming on to Bowles, the young players at Bohemians, Graham, must be getting so much confidence, you know, playing in the Aviva, you know, against Stirling and obviously against Dudelange last week, and now facing into another game of the Aviva, 8,000 fans, tickets sold out in 15 minutes time. But they must be on a high with the way the last few weeks have been going. Now, obviously, it's a bit like Dundalk. It's a tough test for Dundalk against Vitesse away from home. But for Bowes, it's also a tough test. But before we get your thoughts on it, we should really get the man who knows all about Pau, because he spent some time in Thessalonica. James O'Toole, what does your scouting report tell us about Bohemian's opposition?
The scouting report is probably the exact same as Bowes, because they already know this club very well, because obviously a couple of years ago, Bowes youths drew Pau Thessaloniki in the Youth Cup and narrowly lost out to them. So they've a good knowledge of each other's club. They all know how each other's clubs work. I know a couple of Bowes fans went out to Thessaloniki for the game. The craziest thing is going to happen here, and I will say this, if Pauk, I don't know how many people are allowed in the stadium. The stadium's a great stadium, very, very good, just on the outskirts of town. But if that's full, it is absolutely crazy. They are mental fans, and that'll be a completely new experience for some of these players. But they've done well so far. Again, another team that haven't started off their season. They've had some really good friendlies. They've beaten Feyenoord. They've beaten Charleroi away from home. They lost 1-0 to PSV. They've won 4 of their last 5 games in pre-season, and one of them just that PSV game. Again, another team to set up at a 4-3-3. The bad thing for Boas's point of view, especially if you're trying to scout these. In them five games, they've basically used five different teams. And if you look at the players compared to who's registered in on the UEFA website as part of this round squad, there's five or six players who played in them games aren't even in the UEFA squad. For instance, Taylor, the defender, isn't in there. There's a couple of others, but there is one player who is in there, and most people will know him, and that's Kagawa, former Man United, former Dortmund player. He's with them now, so he's going to be a real, real danger, and a lot of people will know what he is capable of. Will he pull it off tomorrow? I'm not too sure, but if Bowes can get a result in the Aviva and have something to go out there with, they could pull off a shock. This is the one I'm not too sure about, to tell you the truth.
They have a lot of quality, haven't they, really, because they've got Karol Swiderski, who was involved with Poland at the Euros, Stefan Schwab from Austria is there as well. And they've got a youngster as well, a 19-year-old who apparently Norwich City are on the verge of signing for something like 10 million. So I guess that underlines the quality you're dealing with here, James.
Yeah, definitely dealing with the quality there. Schwab, look, Schwab has played, I think, two of the games. He's basically started a game, come on as a sub, started a game, come on as a sub. So they've been using him a little bit in pre-season. But yeah, they're a top quality team. They are a very, very good top quality team.
Just going back to Graham. So Graham, I mentioned there about the confidence that the Bowes players, I mean, obviously it's a very tough task against the Greek side, but the confidence they have gained, that can't be underestimated, kind of the Bowes players, in terms of, you know, playing at the Aviva, beating Starn and obviously beating Dudelange as well. Their confidence must be sky high at the moment.
Yeah, and the younger players are obviously, they're confident in anyway. So this would be an extra boost for them going into these games. You have, again, approaching European games, you have to feel that you can compete. You have to feel that you're able to match them at certain times in the game. And you're going to have a spell in the game, no matter who you're up against. Obviously, these are a really good side. James had touched on how young Vitesse Arnhem are. These have an average age of just under 25 as well, so they're a young team too. But you have to feel that there's going to be moments in the game when you have spells in it where you're doing well, and they're the moments that you have to actually grab and say, right, we have a 15-minute spell. We had two chances. We need to make sure we put some of them away. And that's what keeps you in these games sometimes. Because with a team like that, they're going to have majority of the ball and they're going to have majority of the game, but that's where your team spirit and your confidence in your group that you're alluding to will stand with them during those tough little spells against a sort of a team with the opposition quality of poke. Like. So, but you're right, they should be confident and they should have that sort of bit of camaraderie, bit of togetherness, and also that extra bit of confidence to know that, well, we might be able to nick something here.
Gary, your thoughts on Bohemians against PAOK, sellout crowd in amazingly short length of time, just around about 15 minutes. But it is going to be a big ask, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it's a huge test, but it's one that, like, the players themselves have got to embrace. Like, it's not a case of going in there with any fear. They should be going in there full of confidence. You know, and you know, there's nothing to lose. It's a great opportunity to kind of, you know, showcase the club and the talent, you know, that's within that squad. And I think, you know, they're probably well set up, you know, to counter attack, even though it's a home game. I think, you know, you look at the pace and, you know, how good that they have been in wide areas attacking, and Georgie Kelly will give them that focal point, you know, to hold it up and set up attack. So obviously you're going to need a big game from your back four and your goalkeeper. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how the guys handle that. But it's certainly a game that I think that Bohemians, you know, the home game is something that they can get something out of. You know, it'll be a case of probably feeling each other out for a little bit, because PAOK will be coming here. Obviously their pre-season, we know that they're going to be, you know, very, very, very good side. But it's a huge challenge. But it's not one to be fearful of. It's certainly one to go and enjoy and try and play to your capabilities. And it will come down to Bohemians will get opportunities, and if they can take them, it gives them a great chance, you know, of getting something out of the game and taking it, you know, to the second tie with a live chance of getting through.
Okay, well, good luck to Bohemians and also to Dundalk and Shamrock Rovers in Europe this week. Let's switch to the SSE Electricity League Premier Division, and the big game, of course, on Friday night, and it's, well, perhaps a significant win for Shamrock Rovers over St. Pat's at Tallaght Stadium. 3-1. Danny Mandrew scoring twice for the Hoops. Lopez also on target. John Mountney had level for St. Pat's just before halftime. But Shamrock Rovers 3-1 winners. Dylan Watts inspirational for the Hoops on Friday night. We'll hear from the St. Patrick's Athletic manager, Alan Matthews, very shortly. But first, the Hoops boss, Stephen Bradley.
When you play against teams like Pats that want to come and have a go at you, we knew they'd press us high, and we had to take that energy out of them by moving them around and taking the legs off them. And we did that really well for the first 25 minutes. It might not look like there was a lot going on in the game, but for us it was exactly what we wanted, because we knew as the game went, spaces were open and we could hurt them.
You could have gone in 4-0 up at half time, as it was 1-1. Was that a disappointment?
Yeah, it was really disappointing, because like you said, the game probably should have been over at half time. They score right on the kick at half time, so they're right back in the game. But second half again, obviously we get the 2 goals, but it could have been 5 in the end. Like, you
know. 2 good goals. Dylan was the provider for all 3 goals.
Yeah, he was fantastic tonight, Dylan. Best player on the pitch by a mile. He's shown tremendous maturity in his play and how he's going about his business. And when he's in that form, he makes us a better team.
Sets you up nicely now for Thursday, European action. How much do you know about your opponents?
Yeah, we've watched a lot of games. Really technical team, really. Clever, lots of movements, lots of rotations. Exactly what you expect from a team from that part of the world. So they know the dark arts as well, so it's going to be a difficult game.
All credit to Shamrock Rovers, they played well. Our quality wasn't as good tonight as it had been the last couple of weeks. Key moments of the game, Rovers took advantage of that. And we'll move on. As I say, it wasn't our best performance of late. We have been playing well, and we've showed good quality throughout the pitch. Just tonight we lacked that, and Rovers took advantage of that and beat us.
Up to the goal, though, you were still in it.
Yeah, goals change games, and they done us on a set piece, which gave them an impetus and a lift. And we tried to change things and see if we could get back into the game, and they picked us off. So, look, they're a very good side. They won the league last year. They're still top of the table. We're trying to get up to that level on a consistent basis, and that's a challenge every week. We've just come in off the game, so we'll see what we can pick out of it in a positive sense. But the lads gave everything. Their application and attitude has been spot on. It was spot on here tonight. They emptied everything out, and it just wasn't to be. We came up against a good side who punished us in areas that we contributed, I believe, to our own by being a little bit expansive, maybe, and they punished us, and that's what's going to happen. Our own end of it, maybe we didn't have enough quality in key areas.
Alan Matthews there. Graeme Gartland, you were there doing your LOI TV stuff. How significant a win do you feel that was for Shamrock Rovers in terms of the race for the title?
Yeah, I think it sets down a marker for them as well, because with the game in hand now, they could go 6 points clear to Pats if they win that. They've a better goal difference now as well, so I think it was a real big statement from Shamrock Rovers. Obviously, Pats, the whole talk was a top of the table clash with St. Pat's being level on points. Everything was sorted, set up as a big game, and I thought Shamrock Rovers dominated the game from start to finish. I thought they were superior in all areas. I didn't think Pats sort of turned up in that sense in terms of imposing their game on them. They played Robbie Benson as a striker to try and sort of nullify maybe Gary O'Neill dropping in, and Benson would come in and sit on him sometimes, but I just didn't think it worked. I thought they lacked a goal threat. The only really sort of moments would have came from the Dara Burns cutting in from the right hand side and hitting a couple of shots across the goal, but other than that, I thought Shamrock Rovers were really comfortable in the game, and they basically turned the screw in the second half to put the game outside.
Gary, you were there as well. Do you agree with Graeme's analysis?
Yeah, I do. I think, you know, Pats really were second best. I think Shamrock Rovers probably one of the most impressive games this year for them, and Dylan Watts was instrumental in that. And you know, the space that he found in that packed Pats midfield for the third goal, and the ball that he played through for Danny, and it was a terrific finish. I think, you know, that was the quality that was on display. But I think it was a comfortable win for Shamrock Rovers, if you tell the truth about it, because it never really looked in doubt. And I know John Mountney got a goal just before half time against the run of play, and I know Alan will be disappointed probably with his wall, because it looked like he was just setting it up and only getting back into position, and he got a little nick on the edge of the wall, and that kind of gave Pats, you know, something that, you know,
to kind of cling on to right at half time. But apart from that, I think, you know, Shamrock Rovers really dominated this game, and you know, without that striker up top, you know, Coughlin did come on, but and you know, Benson playing in a kind of a false nine, it just didn't work, as Graham said. And you know, Shamrock Rovers are full value for the win, and you know, it looks a bit ominous now, to be honest with you. I think, you know, they'll really kick on from here, I think.
See, on that, Gary, so just before the Watts finds the space to set up the goal, what people don't see on the TV screens, and I was talking to Stephen about this on Saturday morning, Shamrock Rovers just really pushed off the wing backs really high. So St. Patrick came and matched up and played a 3-5-2 to match up against Rovers. And Stephen pushed his wing backs really high, and he dropped his two midfielders out into wing back areas and opened up the whole midfield. So when the ball goes from the right hand side back into the centre midfield, St. Pat's midfielders couldn't recover to get back in. So Watts ends up with this big hole right in front of the back four. And then because Mandrew is coming from a deeper area, just comes running onto it and slots it home. So I mentioned that in the commentary, and Stephen was slagging me on Saturday morning saying, don't be telling them. But that's the thing, when you go and match up against Shamrock Rovers and play their system to match up against them, if they tweak it a little bit, because you haven't been playing that system all season, you find it hard to adjust, because you're only working off for the one night, and you're hoping that Shamrock Rovers don't change. Shamrock Rovers just tweaked it a little bit for 20 minutes, and it opened up the game for Dillon to then set up the goals. And then in the second half, they took off Barrett because he was on a yellow card. They went a little bit more forward at 2-1, and I just thought they left too many gaps with like, there was 20 minutes to go, and he basically left 1v1 at the back. And that's where the goal comes from. Ball goes up into Gaffney, sets it back through. Watts plays Mandrew, and midfield runners were killing St. Pat's then, and that's where the tour goal comes from. So I know, he's right to say that there's a big space for Dillon to go into, but how he done it was really interesting to watch when you're high up in the stand.
Good stuff from Shamrock Rovers as they move 3 points clear, and as Graham mentioned as well, they've got a game in hand. So Shamrock Rovers 21 played, 44 points. St. Pat's in second, 22 played on 41 points. Sligo Rovers back in third on 20 games played, 38 points. And then Bowes with a little like Sligo Rovers, just 20 games played there on 31. That's the shape of the Premier Division. James, a very significant win for Waterford against Graham's old side, Drogheda United, 2-1. And they're out of the bottom two. They've leapfrogged Finn Harps. They've been going very nicely lately. They've got so many new signings as well. Griffin and Quaterna with the goals. A late winner for Waterford. Jake Hyland scoring for Drogheda United. But again, Waterford on a very good run at the moment.
Yeah, and we mentioned it a couple of weeks ago that Mark Burchan was starting to get the team he wanted on the pitch. And these results are starting to show. Like, if you look back to May, when Waterford hosted Drogheda. Now, I know it was a bit of a farcical game, as it was at that stage, due to the COVID restrictions around them, and they lost 7-0. But that'll give Mark and his backroom staff a real, really good feeling going into the next couple of games. A win away in Drogheda, pulling them out of that bottom position, now up to 8th, a couple of points against the Finn Harps. And as I said, the team he wants on the pitch eventually now, it's a little bit Wordsworth being sent off right at the death probably hasn't helped him a little bit, but so far so good for him. He's starting to push them up the table. They're only 5 points behind Dundalk now at the minute. Now they do have games in hand, but they'd be looking towards, I would say, Derry City ahead of them, because I reckon Dundalk could push ahead anyway. And so far so good for Mark Burcham and the Dacia for a weekend of good results for Waterford.
Absolutely, and a very disappointing, Graham, result from a Drogheda perspective.
Yeah, they've been sort of a bit indifferent, because I know they lost the Pats as well, and they went out of the cup, so it's been a tough sort of few weeks for them. Tim and Kevin had signed new deals as well at the club, so they were sort of on a good little run, and the feel good factor was back in the club. So it's probably been a disappointing 3 weeks for them. I do feel with most teams, I think you have to win your home games, and that was one of the ones that they would have looked, a team below them coming to United Park, you would expect them to win the game.
Yeah, Longford's one win this season came against Derry City on the opening night of the season, but no repeat of that at the weekend. Longford Town 0, Derry City 2, Danny Lafferty and Junior with the goals for Derry City. And I guess from a Rory Higgins perspective, job done there, Gary.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Rory will be happy with that. Obviously, going through to the next round of the Cup would have been big for him, going to extra time and winning on penalties the previous week. And going to Longford, where they had been beaten at the start of the season, and getting two goals and away win, Rory would be very happy with that. And look, he's building nicely, Rory, since he's gone in. And obviously brought in a couple of new signings as well, and he's really kind of trying to shape that team and put his stamp on it. And picking up 3 points, he'll be very happy.
Big question in the First Division, James. Are Shelburne going through a sticky spell? Drew with Cove Ramblers at the weekend, 2-2. Obviously went out of the Cup last week, but of course they're still racing clear at the top of the First Division. Athlone Town 1, Treaty United 4, Cabinteely 0, Bray Wanderers 3, Doyle, Sam Verdon and Kavanagh with the goals there. Cork City 1, UCD 1, as mentioned, Shells 2, Cove Ramblers 2, and Wexford 1, Galway United 3, Cunningham, Browder and Doherty with the goals. But look, there's still clear daylight between Shelburne and Treaty and Galway, who are chasing Shells at the moment in terms of the race for promotion. But Treaty season, James, we mentioned it week on week, and obviously Pat Costello did that terrific feature on Treaty United for us last week, but they're sticking at it in second place at the moment with Galway United also on 32 points. That race you'd have to assume surely that Shells will get back on the horse and go on and clinch promotion as champions, but Treaty United and Galway, they're right in there in terms of getting up as well.
Yeah, Treaty United have been the surprise, considering they only had a couple of weeks to throw a side together. Galway, I think, are doing much better. I remember at the start of the season, we spoke to John, and at the start of the season, they started very, very slowly, but now starting to pick up wins, that one against Wexford at the weekend. But Treaty's win, 4-1 over Athlone Town, who again had started off really, really well. Second place, I don't think, if Tommy had asked you where he thought he was going to be at this stage of the season, I don't think his thoughts would have been anywhere near towards the top. But it looks like a really good battle, all the way down to sixth, I would suggest, for playoff places. I'm not too sure anybody's going to catch Shelburne. I think I said it a couple of weeks ago. I think Shelburne will go unbeaten for the entire season. And I think they'll just wrap up that league very, very quickly.
Okay, in the Women's National League, it's still very, very tight at the top of the table. Cork City 0, Piemont 5. A brace apiece for Stephanie Roach and Eleanor Ryan Doyle. Dervla Byrne had opened the scoring for Piemont, 5-0 winners at Turner's Cross. Galway 1, Shells 2, Kiva Keenan and Jess Zhu with the goals for Shelburne. Bowes 0, Wexford Youths 1. Kylie Murphy on target for Wexford Youths. And DLR Ways 1, Athlone Town 1 is how it finished. So the top of the Women's National League, it's pretty much as you were. Piemont United and Shells both on 37 points, and Wexford Youths just a point down, albeit they played a game more than Piemont and Shelburne. That's how the Women's National League, and of course there's a round of matches this week in the Women's National League. On Tuesday evening, Athlone Town against Galway, Piemont against DLR Ways, and then on Wednesday it's Shelburne against Bohemians and Treaty United against Cork City. In the Premier Division on Friday, it's Derry City against Drogheda United, just met of course a little over a week ago in the Cup, but Derry have home advantage this time around for the league meeting. Then on Saturday, Waterford taking on Bohemians at the RSC at 2 o'clock. It's Sligo Rovers against Finn Harps at the Showgrounds. In the Women's National League at the weekend, on Saturday, it's Galway against Piemont, Bowes against Athlone Town, DLR Ways against Treaty United. And a big game in terms of the title race, Wexford Youths taking on Shelburne at Ferry Carrick Park at 6:30 on Saturday evening. And back to the Premier Division on Sunday, it's Dundalk against St. Pat's at Oriel Park on Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. And then Shamrock Rovers taking on Longford Town at Tallaght Stadium at 8 o'clock on Sunday evening before their trip to Albania. Graham, in those games that happen in between European games, like Shamrock Rovers taking on Longford Town on Sunday night at 8 o'clock, they can be tricky enough because obviously so much of the focus is on the European match, playing the Albanians on Thursday, then Longford on Sunday evening before a trip to Albania for the return leg. You really have to have your focus right, don't you? Albeit Shamrock Rovers would be expected to beat Longford Town.
Yeah, yes, it's just the concentration thing, isn't it? And the professionalism that kicks in, that you go and take care of the business. I saw Shamrock Rovers in the Cup against Galway, and it was similar to that one. You come off the Slovan Bratislava game, and he ended up getting Galway home, and for the first sort of half an hour, they just put Galway to bed, and it was 2-0 going in at half time. So I think they'd be looking for the same. But Gary will tell you, there's a massive come down from it, because you're at the high of the game, the travelling, all that, and then you become, not only are you physically tired, you're probably emotionally tired as well, because the game can be draining from that point of view as well. So, but I think Stephen's been very clever as well. He's got the game as late as he can on a Sunday, so he's given them plenty of rest, and then he'll make sure. Also, Shamrock Rovers have a lot of boys coming back that have been out injured as well, so he can move boys around and say, well, here's your chance to go and put down a marker for you to play in four of the games coming up. So it'll keep them hungry in that sense. And as I said on the podcast, which is, I think it was 2 weeks ago, if you could pick a game to come back from, and it's not Longford Town, it's the team that's bottom of the league at home, that's the team you'd want to play after coming out in between the European game. So I think it's all set up for Stephen to just go, well, go and take care of the business. Everything's fell nicely for us. So make sure you're going to basically beat Longford and move on to the next game.
And by contrast, Gary, a very tough game for Dundalk, sandwiched in between the two games against Vitesse at home to St. Pat's on Sunday afternoon. That's not easy.
No, that's a huge challenge. I think, you know, in contrast, is right to the Longford one. And these games do present opportunities, I suppose. Like for Pats, they'll be rubbing their hands together thinking, we've got Dundalk in between these two big European games. And Dundalk squad is probably not as big as it has been on occasions in order to buffer that. So, and like, I suppose, go back through the years, some of the results that I would have picked up when we'd be playing against teams that were in Europe, we would have picked. I remember being at Drogheda and beating Shelburne in amongst one of their European runs. And equally so, I was at Dundalk when we played Galway after beating Bate, and we got beat by Galway down there. So results like that do happen, and it is how you manage that kind of schedule kind of can dictate how your league season goes, especially for Shamrock Rovers, who are, you know, in contention to win the league. So it's how they kind of manage that, because, you know, they're going to have that now over the next couple of weeks, hopefully, because you'd like to see them getting through over the next into the next round, and that's going to be a challenge for them and an opportunity for maybe St. Pat's to try and gain ground. So it will be difficult for Dundalk, because, you know, their squad is not as big as it has been, and it just depends how Vinny can rotate in order to keep a bit of freshness in the squad, because that Pats game will be a very difficult game. Obviously Pats coming off a defeat to Shamrock Rovers, and they'll be looking to get back on the horse there.
And of course as well, Gary, very sad news last week for so many people connected to Dundalk down through the years. The passing of Tommy Connolly, a former player and manager, and we extend our sympathies to the Connolly family. But I guess you would have known Tommy.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, he's a man steeped in the club. He was there for 40 years, like you say, between coach and player and manager. And, you know, he would have known every player that came through the doors at Dundalk. And I know that he would have been a huge help to a lot of the guys locally. And he, you know, he did great work in the community and at the club and the international level as well. And look, he'd be sadly missed. And my condolences also to his family. It's obviously, you know, huge loss for them.
Absolutely. Okay, and just before we head off, I'll run through the FAI Cup draw, which took place last week. Waterford against Kilnamanagh, Finn Harps against Derry City, big juicy Northwest Derby for you there, James. Maynooth University Town against Cove Ramblers, Bowes against Shamrock Rovers, mouth-watering that one. Cork City against St. Patrick's Athletic, UCD against Longford Town, Killeister Donnycarney against Wexford. And the other tie, the cup holders, James, Dundalk against your team, St. Mochta's. How do you feel about that?
Do you know what? First, we had Paul Curry drawing Derry versus Drogheda. Then we had Alan Cawley drawing Finn Harps versus Derry. And poor St. Mochta's going, getting the next round Dundalk away. There's something going wrong with these ties. Absolutely disgraceful. Listen, a couple of years ago, I remember they drew Cork City away in the FAI Cup when they got to this stage the last time. And
Glenn
Crow was playing, very good Cork City.
Glenn Crow and Paul McNally played, yeah. Bobby Ryan.
Bobby played as well. And do you know, they've got some good players in there. As I mentioned last week, like Mick Daly's back there playing as well. Do you know what I mean? So it's not as if they don't have any quality in the side, but I think Dundalk would be just a little step too far for them. But it'd be a great occasion for the club that's from like the small little village here in Clonsilla and in Portistown Road for years and years and years. So it'd be a great occasion for the club.
All right, lads, this is we leave it there from the latest edition of the RT Soccer Podcast. Thanks, as ever, to Gary Rogers and Graham Gartland for joining us, and James O'Toole, of course, as well, for me, Adrian Eames. Until the next time, bye-bye.